As you can see, we have three scriptures this morning. The first one is Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 10. This was written about, it was spoken about 2,700 years ago. The time of Jeremiah's prophecy for the Hebrews spanned five of their kings. By speaking as God prompted him, Jeremiah would face conspiracies, and yet he found it impossible to contain what God wanted him to say. This is a passage about Jeremiah's call and commission. Now, the word of God came to me, Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and therefore you were born. I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." And I said, "Oh, God, truly I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a boy. I'm only a small one." But God said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," said God. Then God put out a hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." In generally the approximate same epoch, Psalm 71 was written as a prayer for lifelong protection and help. "In you, O God, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. For you, God, are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hands of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O God, are my hope, my trust, O God, from my youth. Upon you have I leaned from my birth. It was you, God, who took me from my mother's womb, and my praise is continually of you." This morning we are blessed to be joined by Reverend Tim Hathaway, and he has some additional things to say.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Betty. She's the one who called me, so you can blame Betty. All right? It's great to be here today. The gospel reading comes to us today from Luke 13, 10 through 17. I'm going to ask if you're able, would you stand, please, for the reading of the gospel? "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, 'Woman, you are set free from your ailment.' When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, 'There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day.' But the Lord answered him and said, 'You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?' When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So, Bill Gaither wrote a gospel song. If not, I imagine that it was based on this scripture. It's about being touched by the hand of Jesus, where the words say, he laid his hands on her and immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. He touched me. For those of you who don't know, I am a retired pastor, and I was at First United Methodist Church before I retired, and I know some of you, I know a number of you, and it's great to be with you today, and just so you know, down at First United Methodist Church, when I was preaching, usually preached for about an hour and a half or so, and so I can't break those habits. I'm too old. So anyway, no, it's really good to be here with you today. You know, I don't know whether any of you have ever experienced this or not, but have any of you ever had a backache? Yeah. Well, so have I. And in fact, I've had back surgery. And before that surgery, though, and if you know what this means with the back pain, then you know. Well, before that surgery, I had massages, I had injections, I had physical therapy sessions, I had all kinds of exercises to do, and I had visits to chiropractors. Speaking of chiropractors, you might say they are movers and shapers, right? Movers and shapers. That's a little play on words I'm going to use this morning. And I read about a fellow by the name of Pete Mustas, who was at a chiropractor's office one day, and he was waiting for his appointment, and this other patient came in. And according to Pete, he didn't really just walk in. He just kind of ambled in, and he was hobbled, and he was bent all over, and he was literally bent out of shape. And because this man seemed to be in such great pain, Pete said that when he heard his name called for his appointment with the chiropractor, he offered it instead to this man who was there because of the pain that he was in. And the man thanked him very much, and about 15 minutes later, the man walked out of the chiropractor's office, and he was standing as straight as could be, as a West Point cadet, Pete said. And this put Pete in the mood for a good talk with the chiropractor, and he wanted to know just what kind of what he had done to work such a miracle on this man. And Pete said to the chiropractor, he said, you know, his body was all bent over until his knuckles were barely 6 inches from the floor, and his back was as crooked as a corkscrew, and he quite obviously was in great pain. And the chiropractor agreed with all those assessments, and, well, tell me exactly what you did, Pete said. Well, there was only one thing to do, the chiropractor said. And what was that? Tell me. I searched my storeroom until I found a longer cane. Wouldn't it be nice if every solution to our problems and our pains happened to be that easy? Just find a longer cane. That would be so good. And back pain, that can be something. It can come on so suddenly. We know that, don't we? I mean, I wonder when it happened to her, that woman in our gospel story. I wonder. Maybe it was when she bent over to pick something up off the floor. Maybe it was when she was baking bread in her first century oven, and she was checking to see if the loaves were browned to her perfection. Maybe it was when she bent over to lift up a grandchild. Have any of you ever done that? Or maybe it was due to some difficult or emotional situation. Maybe it happened when her husband wrote her a certificate of divorce and left her with the kids to care for and no income to provide for them. That could happen in the first century. It's hard to say how it happened to her. The Bible story doesn't tell us, and we do know that she was quite literally bent over, bent out of shape. And maybe something like that has happened in your life at some point too. It's unexpected. It can be agonizing. You reach over to pick up a package. You bend down to tie your shoe. Put your arms to scoop up a child. Suddenly something goes really wrong. And you know, in that instant, there's this wrench of your back. There's this tweak. There's this tear. There's this back muscle or disc or nerve or something has gone offline with your back. That sort of thing happened to me some years ago. It happened at an unusual time. I was fly fishing. And I just happened to be walking up the stream, and I straddled a log just the wrong way while walking beside the stream. And I turned or twisted just the wrong way, and I had back pain. I'd had back pain before, but this was back pain like never before, right? And in fact, that one event is what led to back surgery for me. Just fly fishing, of all things. If something like that's happened to you and you're back with your, when you've suddenly been impacted by pain like that, then you know that you're an immediate expert on how intimately connected we are in our bodies, with our arms and our legs and our necks and our shoulders and our hands and our feet, and everything in our body hurts. We don't know. We don't know what happened to this woman or how. But we do know that she had been suffering for a very long time. In fact, it tells us, did you notice, 18 years she'd been suffering? Enough time to cause her to be bent over from the waist, and she was bent out of shape. And, you know, many years ago in Sydney, Montana, Margie and I had a parish there, and we knew a woman there who had this sort of condition. Her name was Anne, and Anne, it was almost shocking to meet her for the very first time. She was really, literally bent like this, clear down, and she could not straighten herself up at all. She was bent at the waist, and she could not straighten herself. She was a wonderful, wonderful person. She just couldn't stand straight. And there's a medical term for this sort of thing. It's probably what physicians today would call, I'm not going to use the physician's term, excuse me, but it's got a lay term called Marie Stumpfel disease. And it's a disease that causes the bones in our spine to fuse together. And the person who has this disease keeps bending, because if you bend slightly forward, it seems to ease the pain for a while, but the problem is that the bones fuse, and so the bend keeps happening until pretty soon the person is literally bent down to where they can barely walk without almost crawling. I don't know for sure if that's what happened to this woman, if that was what her medical problem was. But one thing was for sure. She didn't let it keep her from going to church. And it was in church, the Jewish synagogue, in fact, it was there, in church, if you will, that she met Jesus. I'm glad you're in church today. I pray this is a healing place for you. I pray it's a healing place for all of us. I pray this is a place we can meet Jesus. It's interesting. I think the Bible scholars believe that this story of healing of this woman bent over was really the last time that Jesus ever taught in a synagogue. From then on, his ministry was almost entirely in the streets, if you will, in the byways, meeting people directly. But it was in church that day that this woman met Jesus, and what was once a helpless state of being bent over, bent out of shape, was reshaped into wholeness, into health, into healing. You know, people get bent in wrong directions in more than just physical ways, or have you noticed? We get bent down by the burdens of life. Sometimes circumstances come our way that cause us to bend under the burden of life. We can't seem to see our way clear of those things. Some of us here this morning are experiencing those kinds of back-breaking, emotional, difficult times, hard things that come our way, that bend us down, that burden us down. Things that weigh heavy on our spirits, on our souls. All kinds of situations and circumstances in life can cause our souls, as well as our backs, to be bent or bowed down. You know, things like humiliation or shame or loss of a loved one through divorce or death, accidents that happen, diseases that come our way, a problem with our appearance, problem with our personalities. The good news of our reading of our story of the truth of the gospel is that Jesus came to lift those burdens. He came to move us. He came to transform us. He came to reshape us. Jesus was a mover and a shaper. Jesus came to help us in those bent out of shape times of life. And I'm not trying to make light of these things by my puns today, but I do know that when we start to give those things over to Jesus, he can lift the weight of the burden. There's a scripture that tells us his yoke is easy and his burden is light. In other words, he can shoulder the load of pain for us and with us. He can carry the burden for us and with us. So maybe we find ourselves on this very day bent like that. But, you know, there's another kind of bent that we may find ourselves in, and this is another kind of reshaping I think many of us need, and certainly our world and society needs. Maybe, just maybe, we are bent out of shape about something or someone. Maybe it's the way someone is acting or not acting that has us bent out of shape. Maybe it's the way someone does a certain thing that really just drives us crazy. You don't ever get bent out of shape like that, do you? Did you notice what happened in our scripture today? When Jesus healed this woman who was all bent out of shape, did you notice she got straightened up? But somebody else got really bent out of shape right away. Did you notice? And believe it or not, it was a church person. Imagine that. And I know it's hard to believe, but can you imagine a church person getting bent out of shape? And, well, this was a leader in the church, or the synagogue in this case. Why was it? Well, it was because Jesus wasn't following all the rules, right? We don't do things like that in our church. We've never done it that way before. You've never heard those things either. And immediately after telling us that this woman straightened up and praised God, Luke tells us about this second character, listen to these words, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. The synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work. So come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Where do people like this come from? They throw cold water on every good event. These are movers and shapers in a whole different way, right? A few weeks ago, I was visiting with another gentleman and with another man standing beside us, and a man told me about a friend of mine who was attending a certain mainline church here in Billings. It wasn't this church, by the way, but it was another mainline church, and the man asked his friend how he liked this church that he had just started going to, and the man said, "Well," he said, "I've noticed they're really good about talking about grace. They're just not so good at extending it." Good at talking about grace, not so good at extending it. I thought that was an amazing thing to say. But it's a pretty sad commentary, isn't it? Truth be told, no certain church has a corner on this kind of thing. It happens in the mainline church. It happens in the evangelical church. It happens in the most liberal of churches. It happens in the most conservative fundamentalist of churches. Pastor Lee Strobel is fond of quoting the reply Homer Simpson's fundamentalist neighbors gave when Homer asked them where they'd been. We went away to a Christian camp, they said. We were learning how to be more judgmental. This man who criticized Jesus must have attended one of those camps. You know, he was the leader of the synagogue, for heaven's sake, and now he had seen Jesus do a work in his very presence. And wouldn't you think he'd be jumping up and down and glorifying God? Not so much. All he can do is criticize. Like I said, someone has said that this is believed to be the last time that Jesus was ever in a synagogue. For one thing, he might not have been welcome anymore. They wouldn't allow him there because he was doing all these things that weren't proper. But you have to wonder if the legalism of the synagogue leader drove him away. If so, he wouldn't be the first person or the last person to have been driven away from a religious assembly by a legalistic spirit. I mean, this man was a leader in the synagogue. He was like the pastor, maybe. I remember a bulletin blooper that said, "Please welcome Pastor Don, a caring individual who loves hurting people." Well, of course, you can read that two ways, right? I mean, he loves people who are hurting, or he himself enjoys hurting people. And I was a district superintendent for a while. I had 63 churches and pastors that I oversaw, and I've been around a lot of pastors and a lot of parishes, and I've known pastors and parishes of both persuasions. Maybe you have too. But lay people can be of both persuasions. I mean, we have to be careful as Christians, whoever we are, that we don't get caught up in critical spirits and judgmental attitudes that hurt others. Maybe someone comes to church and we think they should have dressed differently, or maybe someone worships a little differently than we do, or maybe it's a decision that is made in the church council or board that we don't agree with, and maybe someone has a different political view. I know I'm meddling now. But political rhetoric by us and around us is alarming to me. On both sides of the political spectrum, we need some transforming, friends. We need some grace extending. So Jesus healed a woman who was bent out of shape in her body, and then he encountered someone bent out of shape in his spirit. So the synagogue leader was a mover and a shaper in a whole different way. I don't know about you this morning, but I don't want to be a person bent out of shape in my spirit. And I don't just want to be a talker about grace. I want to be an extender of grace. I'll tell you how I think we might be able to do some of this, at least get some starts. First, we all make choices about being thankful. We all make choices about giving praise to God. We can choose thankfulness. We can choose praise. Those are choices, conscious choices that we make. We can also surround ourselves with positive people, people who are good-hearted, people who are kind-hearted. And I can tell you that you're surrounded by some of those people here this morning. I know some of these people. Well, yeah, I do. And I've been a little critical of some church people this morning, but you know that you are surrounded by people here who take joy in your well-being and the well-being of others, not in the failures of others. It's because the church, this church, has good people in it. There are people here who have a vision for the future, who care for those yet unreached with the love of Christ, desire good for all and for this community. There's a good word for us today, and I think maybe it's this. Never count people out. Even those people you think might be bent so far, they're never going to recover. Never count people out. They may be bent out of shape in one way or another, but the word of God for us today is, if they're sick, seek healing for them. If they're down on their luck, assist them. If they're not up to the task, teach them. If they have a burden, lift it for them and with them. If they have failed, forgive them and encourage them. That, I think, is the lesson Jesus would have us learn. We can't all be healers, but we can all be reshapers. Each one of us here this morning can be a grace extender. We can treat one another like sons and daughters of God, as people who have worth in the eyes of God. We all have a choice, don't we? We choose what kind of reshapers we want to be. It can be positive or negative. We choose what kind of spirit or attitude we bring toward others. Is it a spirit of condemnation, of judgment, or is it a spirit of grace and of joy, of justice and of peace, of harmony, of goodness, and love? What kind of mover and shaper do you want to be? Do you want to be just a grace talker? Or do you want to be a grace extender?